Good morning, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the Lord's house this morning? I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do for us today. You all pray for me this morning. Matter of fact, Brother Barry, if you will, you start us out in prayer this morning.
Our Father, we bow in your presence, Lord. We thank you for this day that you've given us together as your people around your precious word. We ask that you come into this place, my Father. God, make your presence known to us. We're a hungry people. We're a needy people. My Father, we cry out to thee today for a visit from on high. I pray you touch my brother. Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge about him. God, I pray you'd use him, Lord, for your honor and your glory, which in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Y'all pray for me this morning. I am a nervous wreck. I haven't taught Sunday school in probably 20 years. And if it wasn't for my love for my pastor and his precious wife and this church and you, I wouldn't be up here this morning. I'm a nervous wreck. But I'm sure several of you all that was here last Sunday and got to hear Brother Tony just teach that just amazing explorer, whatever you call it, teaching. You probably thought you was going to get that today, and guess what? You're not. Brother Tony, he dug in deep. I mean, you had to have your scuba gear on last Sunday. Well, we're going to be in the kiddie pool today. But God will bless you in the kiddie pool too. So if you would turn to Psalms chapter 46. Psalms 46. Psalms 46, and can everybody hear me okay? Okay. Psalms 46, we're going to start in verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river. This time. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. O God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God should help her. And that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. Be still. Temple Baptist Church. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Well, I'm going to tell you one blessing real quick. Like I said, I haven't taught Sunday school in 20 years, and I've just had to start using these about the last 5 years. So when these is on, I can't see you all at all. So that's quite a blessing. So I got to ask the question this morning. What does this mean? What does it mean in verse 1 where it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble? The Bible teaches refuge as being a shelter or being a hope that we have. The amazing thing to me about verse 1 is, and I just wrote this down, it contains a description of God and a wonderful promise based on his character. On his character. You know, I've known my wife for 38 years now. I know a lot about my wife's character. But there's some of you that I know in here that you put on a smile, and you might have the best character in the world. But I don't really know. Because I don't know you. I don't really know you. So how can we really know the character of God? We got to know Him. We got to be close. Brother, and I want to talk about this quite a bit, is Brother Tony, and he in his Sunday school last week, part of what he taught was there's a huge difference in salvation in fellowship. Huge difference. And to really know the Lord, you got to walk with Him. You got to walk in fellowship with Him. Let's look on. So as you all know, I want to focus today on the word shelter. In Webster's dictionary, the definition is a position or the state of being covered and protected. In my little simple finite mind, I want to tell you all a quick story this morning. I had, Brother Barry knows all about this. I've told him 1,000 times about it. But my whole life, my desire has been to go out west and go to Colorado, go to Wyoming, go out in there somewhere. And God blessed me about 5 years ago with the opportunity to go out there. I want to go there my whole life. And those of you that don't know me, I am an extremely competitive person. Extreme. And just so happens, my buddy that I went with, he's the exact same one. So Brother Tony, we started about a year before we were going to go out there. We started training. We trained hard. We ran a lot. We rode bicycles a lot. I myself and Andy, only because Andy done it. Now understand, Andy's twice my size, twice my weight, twice the man that I am. Didn't make any difference. I had to do whatever he did. So he'd call me and he'd say, "Hey, how much weight did you carry today? When you went up the ridge behind your house?" "Well, I carried 50 pounds." "Well, I carried 60. Well, guess what? The next week I had to carry 60. And before long, he had me carrying 100 pounds. Now, I don't weigh but 150 pounds. You know, that's two-thirds of my body weight. And that's like a third of his body weight. But, so we trained really, really hard in this. We done a lot of studying we bought all of the backcountry gear. Y'all just stick with me for a minute. We bought all the backcountry gear. We bought all the freeze-dried meals. And then we was as prepared as you can be. And there's this app that we use. It's called Onyx, and I'm sure a few of you know what it is. But it's an electronic mapping system. So we have it on our computers, we have it on our phones, and we spent literally months and months looking at this vast country in Colorado and pinpointing some places, some waypoints that, that'll preach in itself. But we spent a lot of time kind of drilling down where we wanted to go and stay, where we wanted to start at. So we got a couple waypoints in particular. We headed there, and by the way, our hunt that we were having wasn't until like the end of October. But we went with the first of September. We flew out there, got a rental car, and I'm telling you, we was prepared. We thought. But we get the rental car and we run out there. We fly, land in Denver like 11 o'clock at night. And me and him both, we could have, it was about a 4.5 hour drive to where we was going. I think we could have ran there. We're so excited. But we got a rental car. We get out there. Well, we get out there about 3 o'clock in the morning. And mistake number one. We get out there about 3 o'clock in the morning. We're we rented like this little, looked like a little car, you know, you'd see in the circus somewhere. And he and I tried to sleep in that thing, you know, for a couple hours, and we didn't get much sleep. But we get out, we get our packs on, and we're headed. We got our Onyx map now, and we got this spot picked out at 7 miles. Nothing. 7 miles. And by the way, we're at about 10,500 feet above sea level. I don't know of any of y'all that's ever been out west, ever been at high altitude.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't. You know, I'm, you know, hills of East Tennessee, you think, you know, you see the mountains around here, and it's an anthill. So we jump out of the car, we start getting our packs together, and my head starts hurting. And I think, oh, I just didn't get no sleep last night. I'm excited, and I get the pack on, and I realize I'm not really feeling real good. And it doesn't matter. We take off, and I mean, it's some of the most beautiful country that I've ever seen in my life. We take off up the mountain there, and now remember, I've been carrying 100 pounds around 6 months. I had about 40 pounds on me. Went 150 yards and thought I was going to die. That's the honest truth. I thought I was going to die. I probably would have laid down and died, but Andy kept going. You know, me being me, if he's done it, I'm going to do it. So we kept going. And don't get me wrong, I just kind of lost sight of everything for a little while. Just, man, I was there. I was there. My dream had come true. And we start, now, here's an amazing thing about Onyx. Onyx reminds me a lot of the Word of God. But here's the thing about Onyx. You can bring maps up anywhere in the world. I mean, you can drill down in there tight, and you can see the different ridges and the altitudes. But what Onyx will not do, just like any of your maps, MapQuest, Google Maps, anything that you've got in the car, well, which I often, being the man that I am, I often ignore what Google Maps tells you is the best way to go. But, you know, they all tell you, you know, you're going to Walmart, you know, such and such. Here's the quickest and best way to go. Onyx does not tell you that. Not only does Onyx not tell you that, but it don't tell you the obstacles and stuff that may be in your way, you know, headed there. So we take off. We get about a quarter, half a mile. And I suddenly realize, man, I'm not prepared. I thought I was as prepared as I could be, but I wasn't. And I started getting dizzy. Don't say anything, Barry. But I did. Started getting dizzy. Started getting just real queasy feeling. I got dehydrated really, really, really quick. I started just sensing a lot of confusion. And I literally got to where I was having to look down at my feet and telling my foot to take one step after another. And, you know, we're just a half a mile into this thing. And we got 6.5 more miles to go. I thought, I'm in trouble. I'm in deep trouble. So that's storm number one. And it came quick. Well, as I told you, Onyx doesn't tell you how to get to a place. It just shows it to you. It tells you how far you are, which is another misnomer. Because it gives you straight line distance. You know, it said it was 7 miles. It's probably more like 10 miles. But we keep trudging along. When we start going in this area, it's called dark timber. If you've ever been out west. And all it is just a bunch of matchsticks, pines laid over top of each other. Some of them stacked this high. Well, we get in the middle of this thing, you know, and we're having to fight through all of it. And I start seeing these obstacles. You know, we got a destination, a place we want to go. We've been prepared for it, but I start seeing all these obstacles, you know, in front of me. And then the higher we go, the higher the altitude, which I guess you folks, you all know. I know now. But the higher the altitude, the less air you have. So
the sicker I was getting. Well, little did I know, and I know most of you shaking your head or saying, yeah, dummy, you had altitude sickness. I didn't even know what altitude sickness was. But I got a pretty severe case of it the first time I was there. So here I've got storm number one. I've got altitude sickness. And not to help the fact that I'm so competitive and Andy keeps trudging along, so I got to go. And then I'm hitting all these obstacles, the deadfalls, and the altitude's getting higher. And we actually, at one point, got what's called cliffed out. Any of y'all know what that is, being out west? And it's brother, you know what I'm talking about. We're heading in a straight line when we got to this one place, and there was a 300-400-foot cliff. So we had to backtrack a half a mile to go around it. So that's storm number two. All these obstacles are coming. And I'd got to the point where I was really so confused and just half the time didn't even realize where I was at. I was just trudging along. I didn't realize that the wind, and we had checked the weather. There was no sign. We were going to be there 3 days. No rain, no snow, no anything. It was probably in the mid-50s when we left that morning. Well, the wind got up, started blowing. I didn't realize it. The temperature started falling. I didn't realize it. Well, fortunately, Andy had enough sense about it that we got in there a little ways, and we probably got in about 3 miles. And Andy said, I think there's a storm coming up. I said, no, man, ain't no way. You know, it was still sunny, blue skies. I said, there's no way. I said, they weren't calling for it. I said, we're good. Let's just keep going. And I knew at that point, had I stopped, I would not start again. I knew I wouldn't be able to. So we kept going. And then there started being a little bit of misty rain. And then, I mean, literally in 5 minutes, it went from this beautiful, clear, sunny day to overcast. It started misting and rain. And amazingly enough, Andy pulls this little bitty, just a little small, I think it weighed 2 ounces. This little bag, about this big. He pulls it out of his backpack. He said, we need to get over here under these, and we were like on top of a ridge in a field. Now, by the way, if you're ever out west, this doesn't make a bit of sense to me. You know, here in East Tennessee, we call it fields. Well, there, if you're in the farm country, lowlands, it's a field. If you're up in the mountains and you see a field, it's a park. Doesn't make any sense to me. Anybody ever figure that out, let me know. But we're in this little park area, and he tells me, and y'all just hang on just with me for just a minute. He tells me, he said, man, we need to get over in these little bushes right here. He said, I want to get this tarp out. He said, we better hurry. I said, no, we'll be all right. Let's just trudge on. He said, no, we're going to stop. So we do. And by the time he gets that tarp over top of us, it starts hailing. And I mean hailing just real fine, but hailing like I've never seen it before. And then the temperature just drops to below freezing immediately. Then it starts snowing. And I'm like, Lord, where did this come from? They weren't calling for a storm. They weren't calling for snow, rain. Where did this come from? Boy, the Lord started talking to me. He said, son, there's times in your life that the storms just come out of nowhere. What we got to know is, what do we do? And fortunately for me, Andy knew what to do. And we got under that shelter. See, here's another thing about altitude sickness. The higher elevation you go, the more activity, physical activity you do, the worse you get. I didn't know that. And the Lord showed me that, you know, they are times in our life where a storm will come out of nowhere. Sometimes it may be a storm that we cause. But I really think there's times in our life, and I think the Word of God will show us in a few minutes, there's times in our life when the Lord brings storms in our life. But it's always for our good. There's no doubt. I look back now, and by the way, I survived. As y'all know, I survived it. We waited the storm out. We built a fire. It was just a wonderful time of rest. I still had altitude sickness for a couple of days, but it helped me tremendously to stop there for a couple of hours and just be still. And that'll preach too. I'll show you something here in a minute. But I'm so glad that the Lord brought that storm out of nowhere. Because to be honest with you, they probably would have had to carry me out of there in a stretcher. I don't have any more sense than that. So let's go back to, I want to ask you all a question. There may be several of you in here today that's going through storms, that's going through troubles, going through trials. And I want you to be really honest, not with me this morning. I want you to be honest with yourself. What's your first reaction? What's the first thing you do when troubles come out of nowhere? When storms come in your life? And I don't need to give you examples. You all know what I'm talking about. What's the first thing you do? Well, I'm ashamed to say that normally the first thing, as well as what happened that day in Colorado, the first thing that came to me was fear. Man, it scared me. It scared me, the altitude sickness. It scared me hitting all these obstacles. It scared me the physical storm coming. And I started stressing. Started getting really, really stressed out over it. And I started worrying. I don't know why. I'm a worrier by nature. Not worrier. I worry by nature. But it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. And Psalms 46 is teaching us that very thing. I want to dig in here a little deeper. And go back to verse number 1. It says that God is our refuge or shelter and strength, a very present help in trouble. But look at verse number 2. What's it say? It says, Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We shouldn't fear. But I do so often. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. But we shouldn't. When we have a high priest, when we have a father that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, when we can cry out, Abba, Father. And he hears us. We try so often to do it ourselves. We try so often to figure a way out. When we shouldn't, we should just turn to him. He's there. He's ever present. It's really neat the way, and then we're going to move on, but it's really neat real quick on how Psalms 46 is laid out. So in verse number 1, it talks about God being our shelter. And then verse 2 and 3, it talks about different natural disasters that can go on in our lives and in the world. And then verse 4 and 5, it describes how God is our shelter, what that shelter physically looks like. And then verse number 6, it talks about troubles that man can bring on. And then verse 7, it talks about how that God is with us. Look, the Lord of hosts is with us. Then verse 8 and 9, it talks about wars and rumors of wars. This is the beautiful thing about it. Verse 10, it talks about us being still. Being still and know that I am God. Isn't it amazing that you have, verse 2 and 3, you have these natural disasters. But bookmarked in between that is God is our shelter, verse 1. God 4 and 5, God's our shelter. Verse 6, we're talking about man's troubles. Troubles that man can bring. But again, verse 4 and 5 talks about God's shelter. Verse 7 says that God is with us. Verse 8 and 9 talks about wars and rumors of wars. But yet, verse 7 talks about how God's with us. And verse 10 and 11 says, just to be still. Isn't that amazing? You know, that's that way in our life. Troubles do come. Trials do come. Storms come. But God is always right there.
He's right there. He's on both sides. He's with us when we go into the storm. He goes with us when we're in the storm. And He's with us when we come out. Now, if you will, real quick, look at Psalms chapter 91. I'm so long-winded, I was scared to death this would take 10 minutes and it would be over. And so I'm going to have to speed up a little bit. Psalms 91. The Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge," there it is again, "and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence." Verse number 4, look at this. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou" what? "Shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler." What is a secret? What's a secret? If my wife knows a secret, I'm going to use her as an example again. We're pretty close. There's not very many things that we hide from each other. Normally, if my wife knows a secret, it'd take a little prodding. I'll get it out of her. I'll know what her secret is. So what's it mean here in verse 1 where it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty"? That sound like somebody that's just saved and living a carnal life, Brother Tony? Does that sound like somebody walking in fellowship with the Lord? Walking hand in hand with the Lord. And He knows about that secret place. Now go to Psalm 61 real quick. Psalm 61, we're going to read verse 1 and verse number 4. Boy, if this is right here, hitting me so often. "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." I'm sure none of y'all in here has ever been overwhelmed, but I get overwhelmed from time to time. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Here it is. "For thou hast been a" what? "Shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy." Verse 4, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust," here it is again, "in the covert of thy wings." Now, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 23 quickly. It's a very, very humbling and sad verse to me. So I think again about that shelter. And I think about my house. I've been out yesterday, cold. Been out since hour before daylight. Isn't it mid-20s, mid-upper 20s? And a lot of times, Brother Barry, you know, you get cold, man, you just, it may take you a day or so to get to warm up. And I remember getting home. I was just gone overnight. I was gone for one night. I remember going home. I just couldn't wait. I remember driving up the driveway and seeing my little house up on top of the hill. And my wife and I, we love to build fires. Hadn't built a fire all year. Guess what's the first thing I did? I built one. And I got to sitting there around that fire, started warming up. And I got to thinking about how that little house up on top of that hill, how it's my refuge, how it's my shelter. How comfortable I feel and at ease in that little house. And I thought, why is it? Why is it that I feel that way? What is it about it? You know, it's not a fancy house. My wife and I built it
33 years ago. It's getting to be an old house. There's a whole lot nicer houses, trust me, just in the area that we live in. But I dare say there's not a one of them I could walk into and sit down and feel near as comfortable.
Why is that? I know it. My
daughter and her family, they're grandbabies of mine, man. I'm telling you, they're something. And they built a new house here about 6 months ago. And I say built, they bought a new house in Chattanooga. And love going down there. We go down there all the time. And I'm learning to be a little more comfortable there, Brother Tony, but it's still just not my house. I'm not familiar with it like I am my house. And the only way, see, here's the thing about it. If you're born again, God promises to be there. He promises to be your shelter. But quite often, He's right there. But we're not familiar enough with Him to be comfortable in His presence. We're not familiar enough with Him to turn and let Him be our shelter. Look at here in Matthew chapter 23. This is such a sad verse. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Man, I really, every time I read this, I have a hard time reading it. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's talking to God's chosen people. Look here what He says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings. What's it say? It says, and you would not. Man, that's sad. That's something my heart does, Harry. You know, you country folks, born and raised on a farm, I know y'all have seen this so many times. You've seen a mother chicken out there. You know, they don't say when you're doing, when you won't do something, they say, you're just being a chicken. No, there's a reason for that. You know, chicken runs from everything. Chicken's afraid of everything. Until she has a brood of little chicks. When she has that brood of little chicks, buddy, she will stand up to you. And I've seen it so many times. Chicken be out there and her sister Kathy, I know you've seen this many times. Yeah. These little chicks will be out there running around with the pen and the mama, and then a hawk will fly over the top. All she don't see the hawk, all she sees the shadow. And she'll start making a certain noise. Her chicks know her. Her chicks know her mama is. And what do? They run straight under mama's feathers. But let me tell you something. She'll stand to her death for anything. Over them little chicks. I served one that gave his life so that when I cry out, Abba Father, when I need shelter, He's there. He's always there. How sad that is. I hope this morning troubles and trials, tribulations come your way, storms of life come your way. I hope when Christ is standing there, He's telling you to run to Him for shelter. I hope you don't do as Israel did. I hope you don't turn away. Oh, what a personal God we serve, Brother Barry. Spurgeon wrote, listen to this.
Spurgeon wrote that, quote, "The blessings of God being our refuge or shelter are not for all believers, but for those who live in close fellowship with God." I'm not saying that God is not, if you're a child of God, and Spurgeon's not saying that. He's not saying he won't be your shelter. He's just saying you got to be close enough with him, close enough to him, to when you trouble comes, you don't panic, you don't run, because you're already right there. You're already right there walking in fellowship with him. Go to Psalms 107. I'm about done. Psalms 107, verse 25. Make sure I've got it right. Yes. Psalms 107, verse 25 through 32. I read a quote. It was an anonymous person. But I read a quote here the other day in my study that said, "Trouble is one of God's great servants because it reminds us how much we continually need the Lord." Now look at Psalms 107, verse 25 through 32. The Bible says, "For he commandeth and raiseth the storm, the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man, and are at their wits' end." Man, how often. If this doesn't describe me at times, that's me right there. That's me. "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired," what? "Haven, their place of rest. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." I'm going to have to cut some things out just for the sake of time, but there's a... in Psalms 27:14, the Bible says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalms 46:10 says, again, we read it earlier, "Be still and know that I'm God." I worked at the University of Tennessee Hospital for 33 years now. And because we're an entity, you know, that we're there for our patients, where by law we're required to do all this emergency preparedness. Brother, I know you know some of this. We're required to do this annually, do all these refreshers. Well, I got to looking the other day, and man, this blessed me. Anybody ever heard of shelter in place? Have you ever heard of that? Sure, most of you have. I want to read to you what University of Tennessee says about sheltering in place. "To shelter in place means to find shelter in the place you're currently in." So, you know, all this that we've read so far about the Lord being our shelter, the Lord being our rest, and I'm not saying that there's not times in our life that God don't take us out of that storm. But most of the time, he doesn't. We stay in that storm. We're still in that storm. The storm still rages around us. But he blesses us and he gives us that shelter in the storm. So again, "To shelter in place means to find shelter in the place you're currently in." Listen to this. "You're not meant to find another shelter. As leaving the place you're in is considered dangerous. How true that is. The initiative hopes to reduce... I can't even read my own writing. The initiative hopes to reduce stress and ensure everyone's safety while they're there.
Well, I failed to tell y'all this one little piece about the journey I took you all on earlier, my trip to Colorado. You know, I told you about my buddy Andy. Well, I might have failed to tell you. We're very competitive, but he's a lot smarter than I am. A lot. And you all said, yeah, I know. You told me the story. I get it. What I didn't tell y'all was, when he took that little piece of nylon and made that little shelter for us, it started hailing, it started snowing, and then the wind really started picking up. But before we started our little fire, I got to looking over, 100 yards from us, down this valley, and there was these big, huge pine trees everywhere. I thought, this is stupid. We're sitting here out in the middle of this park, remember field, in the middle of this storm. Now, it made a nice little shelter, but I thought, wouldn't it make a lot more sense to go over there than them big old trees? And I told Andy, I said, I don't know about you. I'm leaving. I'm leaving this shelter, this nice warm shelter that's keeping me from the, you know, the rain, the sleet, the snow. I'm going over there. Makes a whole lot more sense. Andy said, okay, go ahead, I'll watch you. He said, but you remember what that makes, right? What do you mean? He said, that's that dark temple. He said, you remember us climbing and crawling and going under all them big, huge deadfalls and big pine trees? He said, did you notice that there were a lot of them still had green limbs and stuff on them? I said, no, what in the world does that have to do with the fact? You know, we kind of, believe it or not, you know, I know Barry had a hard time believing it, that I disagreed with him when we kind of got to arguing about it. I said, what's that got to do with it? That even gives us more reason. Let's get over under them on deadfalls and stuff. He said, you idiot. He said, it's when the storms come, the wind blows, them big old trees you're wanting to find shelter in, they'll kill you, they'll squish you. Man, how the Lord brought this shelter in place back to me. You know, there. How often is it when we do go through these stresses, these troubles, these storms in our life, and we're walking in fellowship with the Lord, and we seek His shelter, and we start to sense, you know, the brief time that we're being sheltered from that storm. And there's times that I think, hey, this is nice, but I think I'll go over there. No. God tells us to be still. Be still. He is our refuge. He's our shelter. Temple Baptist Church, we need right now, as a collective body, we need to shelter. He's here for us. My wife and I was talking this morning. I'm going to leave you with this. I sent her a little something on Instagram. I don't know, a couple days ago. And we're not big Instagram users, by the way. But I sent her something. And this man talking about praising the Lord and how that for the longest time, he had a problem praising the Lord. He had a problem with other people praising the Lord and raising their hands because he thought they was drawing attention to themselves. And he said he got to watching one day his little daughter. And he said he walked through the house. And he said his little daughter ran up to him. He started yelling, Daddy. She reached her hands up. He started yelling, Daddy. So many times in our lives, in that storm, if we'll just hold our hands up, say, Daddy, Abba Father, He'll pick us up every time. I love Him. And I love my church.
and I love you. I thank you for listening to me this morning. Let's seek the Lord right now. We need Him as our shelter, our refuge. Brother Tony, if you would dismiss us this morning. Amen. Let's love on each other for a few minutes this morning, okay?